Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of Trader Talk Sports. Today we're going to be going through a recap of the NBA season, odds for the draft lottery, kind of where I think the picks are going to end up, what in the world is going on with the Lakers. I'm going to talk about their situation as well as some speculation. And finally, I've got the playoff matchups, which you're all here for. I'm Alex Trader, and this is Trader Talk Sports. Okay, so this was overall a pretty good NBA season. Obviously, I'm disappointed LeBron didn't make the playoffs. And even after they got eliminated, D-Wade was in it, and the Heat also didn't make the playoffs. So that's kind of disappointing. The first time we've seen the NBA without both of these guys in the playoffs in a long time. So really disappointing. The Lakers were bad this year. There's nothing I can really say about that. Did it help that LeBron missed 18 games with that injury when they were the four seed? No. Did it help that Lonzo went out pretty much halfway through the season and wasn't able to come back? No. Obviously, injuries happen. The Lakers caught a bad lick with injuries, and that's unfortunate. But at the end of the day, we need some of these young players to step up, and they really didn't. So I'm looking forward to seeing how we rebuild the team going into next year, what type of player we're looking for in the draft, who we can get as our coach going forward, as well as a surprise story that I'll go more in-depth with later. As well as that, the Nuggets were a big surprise for me this year. They were a very solid team. I don't think anybody going into the season thought that they would be the two seed, let alone them being that high up and the Lakers not even making the playoffs. So that's something that really nobody saw coming. And on the opposite end, the Celtics were really a struggling team this year. Last year, they went into the playoffs with championship aspirations, even without Kyrie. Their young core looked incredible, and this year, they just seemed to not fit well around Kyrie. You heard multiple times around the year, guys not having fun, guys playing more for themselves than team ball, which is not at all what Brad Stevens' system is built for. So kind of a poor season, I don't want to say letdown because they were the four seed in the playoffs and they did make the playoffs, but kind of a letdown compared to what everybody else thought was going to be happening with this team. Russ clinched his third straight triple-double season. Absolutely insane. This man has just become a walking triple-double. Do I think that sometimes rebounds get padded a little bit? Yeah, but no one else can do it the way that Russ can. So congratulations, Russ. That 2020 game was incredible. Happened right after the unfortunate situation with Nipsey Hussle. He did it for his good buddy, so I appreciate him going out there and giving it all every night. Russ, one of the hardest working players in the NBA, and he definitely makes it a lot of fun to watch when he's out there giving 110% every single play, every single night. Lastly, we have Dwayne Wade missed the playoffs in his final season. The Heat were in the running for the last half of the season after they went on a pretty big run. Obviously, that sparked with that game-winning shot against the Warriors that Wade had. One of the craziest buzzer beaters I've ever seen. But yeah, they missed out after the Pistons were able to clinch that spot. So that's unfortunate for Wade. Heck of a career, incredible career. Go down as one of the top 15, 20 players of all time, as well as the third best shooting guard, which is pretty much indisputable behind Jordan and Kobe. With that being said, there were some teams that struggled, and that's what we're going to be looking into next. Odds for the draft lottery this season. Now, the New York Knicks, the Phoenix Suns, and the Cleveland Cavaliers were the three worst teams in the NBA this season. That means that all three of them are going to go ahead and have a 14% chance of the number one pick, as the new NBA rules constitute. Honestly, if the Knicks don't get the number one pick, I would be shocked. The NBA, I know the lottery is not rigged, but if the NBA can let Zion go somewhere other than New York, then they're making a huge mistake. Because Zion is the biggest name in basketball right now, in college basketball at least, and he'll come into the league as a huge, with a huge spotlight on him and a ton of hype, and also with the label as a franchise player. Now, we've yet to see if that's actually true. He had one season at Duke where he missed a couple games. He was dominant, but that's against college players. Do I think he's going to be a solid NBA player? I personally believe so. But putting the LeBron James chosen one tag on him is a little bit premature, in my opinion. But New York, he's perfect for New York. He's the type of guy that New York needs. He's a strong player, player who gives his all on every play, and that's definitely what the Knicks need right now, as they've been losing so much lately. Suns looking at Ja Morant, which I think is a great player for them. They have Ayton and Booker already. Somehow that team is third worst in the league. I think it's a really solid core, and I don't know how they're underachieving so much. But I think Morant helps out by being able to distribute the ball and also score essentially at will. He has incredible court vision, and that'll help out Booker and help open up the post for Ayton as well. So I think that that's where they're going to go. Even if they get the number one pick, I think they trade that away for a for the number two pick to get Ja, as well as some future compensation, most likely first round, and probably a couple first round picks, to be honest with you. Cleveland, I feel like they're going to take RJ Barrett. Those of you that know me know RJ Barrett is not my favorite player, especially after what he did in the Michigan State game. Just in late game situations, he's kind of a ball hog, not a great shooter. He can defend, but didn't really see too much of him playing that lockdown defense at Duke, especially in the big moments. And just the one stat that I can't get over, 0 of 9 in the last minute of the three losses that these guys had when they were all on the court. It's just, he can't really shoot all that well, and he just takes the shot no matter what, which some people like that. I personally don't, because it's letting the team down, especially when you have a player like Zion on your team. I think that it's a huge mistake for him to be taking those shots, and I feel like you do what you do your whole life, and RJ's used to taking those shots, and I think it could hurt a team that were to draft him that high. I do like Jarrett Culver, though. He had a bit of a weak last couple games in the NCAA tournament, but overall he's a phenomenal player, and I think someone that the Cavs could use in a pretty decent way, even though the Cavs are so poorly run. I do think that they have a lot of young talent with a guy like Jetty Osman, who one of my favorite players in the league, Kevin Love, and Colin Sexton, who had a really solid year this year. As well as the 14% chance to get the number one overall pick, these teams have 52.1% chances to get top five. That's all three of them. And the Cavs do have a top 10 protected pick that the Hawks would own if they somehow managed to fall to the top 10. That's not going to happen, so the Cavs will get to keep their pick. That's coming from the Kyle Korver trade, I believe it was 2016. Next up, we have the Bulls as the fourth worst team in the league. They have a 12.5% chance, at the number one pick, as well as a 45% chance to get a top five pick. Likely they're going to get a top five pick. They'll probably end up with the third or fourth pick. I don't see them getting the number one, even though they have just about equal odds. Like I said, I think that the draft order, it can change, but it usually doesn't change too much for it to be a big deal for those teams that have been tanking all year. Next up, Hawks, 10.5% chance to get the number one and 42% chance to get the top five pick. Like I said, I think they'll be top five, and I think that with them owning Dallas's pick, as long as Dallas doesn't get a top five pick, I think that they'll have two solid picks and maybe even a chance to bundle up and go a little bit higher in this draft, though I'm not sure that they need it. But if they're looking for that star big man, star small forward, I think this would be a pretty stacked draft to go ahead and bundle some picks and go and get that player that you see can work well with Trae Young and you can build around. Wizards are a lost cause. John Wall is out for the entirety of next season. I think Bradley Beal, there's a pretty good chance that he gets traded, hopefully to the Lakers. I like Bradley Beal. I think he's a really good player. But the Wizards are terrible right now. Bobby Portis helped out a little bit. I think that was a good move for them, but that team, they missed their window, and that's unfortunate because I always liked John Wall and I liked Beal and I liked how they played together, and it's just they missed the window. But they, nonetheless, they have a 9% chance at the first pick, 37.2 at a top five pick. And then you have New Orleans, Dallas, and Memphis all at 6% chance to get the number one pick and a 26.3% chance at a top five pick. Now, as I mentioned, Dallas's pick is owned by Atlanta if they don't get that top five pick. So that right now there's about a 1 in 4 chance that they're able to keep their pick. I think if they could keep that pick and pair someone with Luka, maybe a distributor, maybe a sharpshooter, someone like that. Him and Porzingis, they do need the help. And I think that team could be really solid next year, depending on what they do in free agency and the draft. And Boston does own Memphis's pick from the Jeff Green trade. But it's 1 through 8 protected, so I think that Memphis should be able to keep that. It'll be pretty close, but I think that they'll likely be able to keep that pick. And if not, that's tough for Memphis because Memphis has traded away their best player in Marc Gasol. Mike Conley, who I like, is getting a little bit older. He's starting to get up there in age. His explosiveness is going down, and Valanciunas can't lead you to anything, let alone a championship, probably not the playoffs. So Memphis does need that pick, though I'm not sure how much it'll help. And then the Pelicans likely losing AD after his incredible That's All Folks shirt, and then the blunder where he said, well, I'm not sure if it's a blunder, but it's a terrible answer. I mean, when he was asked why he was wearing the shirt, he said that he has a stylist and he has no say in what he wears. That's obviously not true. But I like AD. I like the move. I wish he would have just been honest about it. But I think he's played his last game in a Pelicans uniform. So they're going to need to look to rebuild. And they might even get some more picks in this draft. Who knows? Trade them to the Lakers. Minnesota, after that, 3% chance at the 1, 13% chance at the 9, or at the top 5. Doubt we see them move up too much. They might be able to sneak into a couple higher spots. They're not going to get a top 5 pick, unfortunately. Definitely not the number 1. The Lakers, 2%, 9.4% chances. I hope they can get Zion. I hope they can get a top 5 pick. Once again, don't see it happening, unfortunately. But I think that if you can get a sharpshooter straight out of college, a 3-and-D guy might be the best move for the Lakers. And if you see someone like Jarrett Culver's stock fall a little bit after his tough performance in the last couple games of the tournament, I think he would be great for the Lakers. Strong defensive player, Tech, obviously one of the best defenses in the country. And also, he can shoot pretty well. So I think that'd be a good guy to pair with LeBron and the Lakers and whoever else they have left on that team. And then finally, bringing up the end of the lottery, we have Sacramento, Miami, and Charlotte all at a 1% chance at the number one pick and a 4.8% chance at a top five pick. Sacramento's losing their pick because it's only number one protected. They're not going to get that pick. So Sacramento, Celtics will end up with 1, maybe 2 picks in the first round. In the lottery. So that could be huge for them, as well as they have their own pick at the end of the round. So we'll see what the Celtics can do with that. Miami is pretty much done. Their shot. Wade was their team, and he wasn't leading them to a championship at this age. They really don't have a backup plan, which is unfortunate. But hey, maybe they'll start their rebuild now, see what they can do with this draft. And then Charlotte, I like Kemba. I don't mind Charlotte. I'm glad that they didn't make the playoffs because I think if they would have, it would have made it a lot easier for Kemba to stay home. And now I think that he definitely has to look at all of his options, including, that's right, the Los Angeles Lakers. I'm going to be doing a bigger free agency podcast once the playoffs end and we can see how everything's kind of shaping up, where the players are leaning, what they're saying in their public statements. And then obviously during free agency, I'm going to have huge coverage of that. That's my favorite period of the year next to the trade deadline. as off season goes, or front office stuff, management, player personnel, stuff like that. Those are my two favorite times of the year. So I think that, I know that we're going to have a lot of coverage on the site for that, whether it be from me or from some of our other, authors, contributors. That's the draft odds, lottery. Might do a mock draft. We'll see how it goes. I'm not the biggest college basketball guy other than March Madness. But if you guys want to see a mock draft, let me know in the comments. Otherwise, I can just do some draft coverage, do a podcast talking about how I think the draft went, what picks I think are going to be successful, what picks are going to be busts. That's what I've got for the draft for now. Next up, the Lakers. What is going on in Los Angeles? Magic quit out of absolutely nowhere right before their last game, and it kind of shook up the whole flow of the organization. Well, I think it's not the worst thing, because now you have the chance to bring in someone who is a little bit more cutthroat at that position, someone who's able to bring in those free agents, able to bring in agents to come to LA, talk to them, be able to bring in trades, finish through on trades. Magic cited backstabbing as well as saying that Genie Buss did give him all the power to do what he wanted with the franchise. Don't think that's 100% true. I think that he might have had some beef with Rob Pelinka. But it ended out how it's all right. I mean, this move isn't going to hurt the Lakers dramatically unless they were to bring in someone completely inexperienced for the job. I think that's the worst thing that you can do, is bring in someone that not only is inexperienced, but is unlikable and not able to do the job. The Lakers kind of operate as a family business, which you can't do when you're at this high of a level trying to win these games. And the Lakers definitely need to be careful. David Griffin, one of the number one choices for this team, ended up actually agreeing to a deal with the Pelicans today to be their vice president of basketball operations. Another guy that a lot of people are looking at, Masai Ujiri, Jerry West. Those are two guys who I think could be really beneficial for this team. Very experienced, very liked around the league. Obviously, Jerry West knows what he's doing. He's bringing the Clippers back into prominence. So I think either of those guys would be solid. And Colin Cowherd today said that Kobe Bryant would be the perfect fit for this job. Sorry, Kobe Bryant coming in to be the president of basketball operations for the Los Angeles Lakers. Personally, I don't see it, but today on his show, Colin said that Kobe is the number two Laker in Los Angeles. When you think about all-time Lakers players, people think Magic, then Kobe. And Kobe is competitive. He does keep score, is what Colin was talking about. And honestly, with the next point, I kind of agree that if he were able to bring this team back when Magic couldn't, it could push the needle. Kobe's obviously a cutthroat guy. He doesn't take trash from anybody. And he could honestly be a solid spot for the position. I don't like the point that he made about Kobe being able to boss around LeBron and try to bully him into losing some of his power within the team. I don't think that ends well, and I think that if that's the sort of situation that this gets into, I think it could be very dangerous for the Lakers in this next time for LeBron's last couple years on his contract. And finally, Luke Walton is out. Finally, thank goodness. Luke Walton is not a very good coach, in my opinion, at least not for this team. I don't think he garnered the respect in the locker room, as you can tell by veteran players like Michael Beasley and Rondo confronting him. Good luck to him, but I don't think he was the right coach for this job. He seemed to make some random substitution patterns, so good luck, but good riddance, in my opinion. And the two names that are being tossed out right now are Ty Lue, which everybody knows, LeBron's former coach in Cleveland, won a championship, has LeBron's respect, and a wild card, Monty Williams, the former coach of the Pelicans. Now, that's a move that I really didn't see coming, but it could work. I think someone like Monty could be very good for the Lakers. Someone to garner respect. He had some success in New Orleans with Anthony Davis. So I think that if they were able to land either of those guys, I think it would be good. You just got to find the right coach to work with these players, to work with LeBron especially, and kind of build the system around that. And I think that either of those guys could be pretty successful in the purple and gold. And now we've got the playoff matchups. These are my round one predictions. Let's get right into it. In the Eastern Conference, we've got the number one seeded Bucks going up against the 8-seed Pistons. I've got the Bucks 4-2. Giannis, Chris Middleton, these guys are insane. Yeah, Brogdon's hurt. He's shaken up right now. But they just have too much firepower. The Pistons have more of a big man team focused, built around Andre Drummond, built around Blake Griffin. They play low. They play tough. They get boards. But Giannis is absolutely incredible. He can cover a lot of positions. Him on Blake is huge. And then also Pau Gasol coming in for the Bucks is a big move, a lot of playoff experience for a team that hasn't really had all that much success in the playoffs. And also this is a new coach. It's a complete different team from what they've had. I know a lot of the same players are there, but it's a completely different team. I see the Bucks taking this one 4-2. I think they might have a little bit of jitters just from being that hyped up, that successful this regular season. But I don't think they really have any trouble in this series. Next up, we've got Raptors Magic. Now, Kawhi has been incredible for the Raptors. Obviously, the Raptors have been having some bad luck the last couple of years going up against LeBron every year and usually getting swept. They might have won a game here and there, but they never really had a chance to win so long as LeBron was in the East. Lucky for them, LeBron's out of the East now, and they got a much better player in Kawhi Leonard. DeRozan wasn't really built for the playoffs in the East, and that might change for him on the Spurs this year. I'm not sure. But Kawhi's been in the playoffs. He's won a championship. He's been successful. And I believe he's still a top three two-way player in the NBA. I've got the Raptors 4-1. Magic aren't really a threat to that team. They have Vucevic. They have a couple other guys, Aaron Gordon. But they can't hang with Kawhi and Mark Gasol and Kyle Lowry and OG Anunoby and Pascal Siakam. I mean, it's just that won't work for them. 4-1 Raptors. I do think that they don't get the sweep, though, just because, you know, they are the Raptors. They do tend to struggle in the playoffs. And I think this will honestly be the closest series in the East to being an upset. I think the East is pretty chalk. 76ers, the 3-seed, going up against the 6-seeded Nets. I do think the Sixers eke this out just because they have more pure talent than the Nets. But don't be surprised if the Nets are able to win this series. Ben Simmons can't shoot a lick. Joel Embiid is how they thrive. Yeah, they have Jimmy Butler. Yeah, they have Tobias Harris. They thrive off of Joel Embiid. Unless they can get those two guys rolling, I think this will be a really close series, and I think this could be one that they let slip out of their hands, even though they are statistically, or not statistically, on paper, the far better team. D'Angelo Russell's been playing absolutely out of his mind these last couple months. You've got a lot of guys on that team that can go in and be successful. And they've been showing that, beating a lot of top teams by a lot of points. So, once again, don't be surprised. I've got the Sixers 4-3, barely surviving this one. And I think this will be probably their toughest series in the East in terms of matchups and trying to figure out themselves as a team, as they also haven't had much playoff success with their core. Finally, in the East, we've got the Celtics going up against the Pacers. I wanted to take the Pacers here. They don't have Oladipo. They don't stand a chance. And as much as I like Oladipo, and I think the Celtics are a train wreck this year, Kyrie Irving is a star player, and he's going to will them past a team without one. Even if the rest of the Celtics don't show up, and I'm definitely not saying Kyrie's LeBron because he's not, But without Oladipo, you have a much easier run through this Pacers team. And he'll be enough by himself to take out this team without a star player. But I think that guys like Jason Tatum and you'll see Marcus Morris come in and have a pretty solid series. I think Gordon Hayward should be able to hit a couple threes, which is just enough to push you past the Pacers. In the Western Conference, we've got the Warriors against the Clippers. I'm not even going to go in depth on this one. The Warriors are going to win this one 4-0. And there's a reason that they've won two championships in a row and are heavily favored to win a third. They're just stacked. And the Clippers are a solid team built of role players, but they don't have a star. And they can't compete with the four or five, depending on how you feel about Draymond, that the Warriors have. It'll be a sweep. Next up, Nuggets, completely inexperienced in the playoffs as the number two seed, going up against the Spurs, who I would say they have experience, but a lot of their experienced guys are gone. The only guy with really any playoff experience, DeMar DeRozan and LaMarcus Aldridge, but neither of those guys were able to be very successful in the playoffs. Derek White, I believe, is the Spurs player. Skip Bayless, you see him raving about him. He's a very good player. I think the DeRozan and Aldridge will help. A lot of people want to pick this upset for the Spurs. Personally, I don't see it happening. Jokic is an absolute monster on the court. And though he doesn't have the playoff experience, I think that he's going to be able to be enough. I don't think that these Spurs are the same Spurs that a lot of people are used to seeing. And I think that'll get exposed in these playoffs. I've got the Nuggets winning this series close, but I've got them winning 4-3. Next up, Blazers as the 3 seed going up against the number 6 Thunder. Russ and Dame, their feud, seeing this go on over a 4-game series or a 7-game series, is going to be absolutely incredible. They've got to be smart, though. They can't get ejected because both these teams need these guys to win. More so Portland, just because their second star is CJ McCollum rather than Russ kind of being the second star and having Paul George to fall back on as their number one guy. Oklahoma City, I think they lose the first two in this series. I think Russ goes back to being Russ and tries to do too much and shoot the ball, even though he's shooting career lows. I think they lose these first two games in Portland. I think they win the next four. I think he realized that his legacy is kind of at stake as being a ball hog, a guy who can't win with other stars. And I think he'll let Paul George take over the team, and they'll be able to go ahead and win the next four. Thunder 4-2. And the last game of the first, or the last series of the first round, excuse me. The Rockets taking on the Jazz. The Rockets do have home court here. Season series was split. There were a lot of blowouts. There was one close game that the Rockets won. I think the Rockets win this. They're on a mission. They almost had Golden State last year. They got better. And I think that they're going to be looking to finish what they started. I think they win 4-1, and I really don't think that the four wins are all that close. Thank you guys for listening. Those are my round one playoff predictions. I'll be back with another podcast talking about my round two playoff predictions, going over where I was right, where I was wrong, as well as getting more in-depth with the games, actually analyzing what was going on, and also if those trends that we see in these first-round games can continue in the second round and going forward. Thank you all for listening. I try to post weekly. I'm definitely going to be working more on that as I get out of school. Graduation is really close, so I'm going to be working on getting a podcast out every week for you guys, or in the case like this, NBA playoffs, every time that there's a new round, I'll try to get one out. I do post articles just about every day on the site, so make sure you guys check out all those articles, me as well as my authors, And the staff here at Trader Talk Sports work very hard to get posts out, to get content out for you guys. And we appreciate all the support. We appreciate you guys reading and checking out our stuff. So without further ado, I'm going to cut it off there. Thank you all for listening. I'm Alex Trader, and this was Trader Talk Sports.